Caroline, Willie, D-Mace, 102.5, 106.3, The Game, and The Game Nashville app. We're live from the Hiller Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electrical Game Studios, and we are streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook Live every single day. Our video streaming is brought to you by Superbook. Download their app today and use promo code THEGAME. Joining us now is Jonathan Hutton, Hot Mic with Hutton and Withrow. Hutton, my favorite time of the week when you come on. Appreciate you for joining us because it is camp week. We're officially 1 week into training camp. And one thing that makes me really excited about what I've seen from practice the last few days is what I've seen from Will Levis. It hasn't all been great. There's been some ups and some downs, but I've seen what people were talking about, the hype that they were giving Will Levis throughout the draft process, the first round hype. But what I've tried to tell myself, it's early, temper the expectations. There's still a whole lot to learn. But what have you been taking away from this backup quarterback battle that we've seen unfold so far in camp?
Yeah, I was able to watch, and I watched a lot of Willis and Levis on Saturday. Great to be on with you guys. Look, it's good to see him turn a bit of a corner with some things that he did in the red zone a couple of days ago, and the fact that he followed that up with another nice practice yesterday. Look, this is going to be a battle through the preseason, or it will appear that way. Levis, and we touched on this, Mace, last week. I feel like Levis should win the backup job, and that's taking nothing away from the improvements that Malik Willis has apparently made. But I mean, they made the decision on who the backup was, in my opinion, whenever they drafted Will Levis in the second round and said it was great value. And they're grooming him to be the heir apparent to Ryan Tannehill. That was the thought process then. If it's not, I don't know why you draft him, and especially with the limited picks that they have. And he should be able to take a step forward, even if it's a slight one, a short step. And it's going to be a grind. That's what you expect from a rookie quarterback. That's why he wasn't a top 10 pick. But that's why, just like Anthony Richardson, who will not have this luxury, those guys need a year. They need a year in a system. They need to get acclimated to their new offensive coordinator, their type of offense compared to where they're coming from. And it will benefit Levis greatly if Tannehill stays healthy and he can learn from the backup role for a year. And, you know, if Ryan plays extremely well, there's nothing to keep them from keeping Tannehill around too for another season, although that was not the expectation that we were discussing throughout the last couple of months. I do think Willis and Levis will get a ton of reps. That goes without saying in the preseason games, but they will be judged, and they'll probably flip different possessions or come out of halftime in certain games. It will be interesting to see how Willis does in the games, because last year in the preseason, he was taken out of the preseason game because he wouldn't throw the football. Levis is certainly going to do that. There will be poor throws, poor decisions, but I think that comes with the territory given about what they see from these two guys.
Is this Will Levis's job to lose?
I don't think so. I mean, I think I was going into it, Caroline, with that mindset. I think that the discussion of Malik Willis and his play and his overall improvements and his dedication to the offseason should be recognized. And I think it's more – that to me is more about what Malik Willis has done this offseason to receive – some praise from Mike Vrabel over the weekend or last week. I mean, Vrabel doesn't hand out individual praise all that often. And he made a point to bring up Willis and what he's done this offseason specifically to put him in a position to win the battle. I also think there's a great likelihood that three quarterbacks are on the main roster. If Willis is going to play as well as he has to begin camp during the preseason games, because while no one wanted to draft him a year ago, to me, there will be more teams that want to carry three based on the emergency quarterback rule. And the Titans will likely be one of them, give or take a certain injury that would force them not to use that third roster spot because it's needed in another position.
Well, you're right. I don't think anyone wants to be caught in the position hut that San Fran was in last year, where they went through all three of their quarterbacks and had to use Christian McCaffrey, which spelled, you know, disaster for a really good, at that point, a really good team. If they have their quarterback, it could be a different story. So you're absolutely right. I think as long as Malik continues to, you know, show growth, which he has, and I think he took it personal. I truly did, and it's good for him that he took it personal. because the Titans didn't do him any favors last year by throwing him in there. And he went in the offseason, and just like Treylon Burks, neither guy had an opportunity in their offseasons to really hone in and do the things necessary because of the travel and the getting prepared. I think both of them, this to me is a true sort of like a testament of what you should do or how you should look coming back off your first year.
Yes.
Malik Willis and Treylon Burks, as of now, it seems like both of them have made a tremendous growth.
And I think that's also credit to Tim Kelly and Charles London. Mm-hmm. You know, London's brought in from Atlanta. He interviewed for the OC job, didn't get it, but he still remains here. It's a lot like Matt LaFleur whenever he was interviewed here for the head coaching job, but Vrabel brought him on for the OC. So I think that's also something to point out. And I will say, I think there could be, in flashes and spurts, a role for Malik Willis in this offense during games, more so than Levis, who would be the true backup to Tannehill, because they were using Levis in that way, in that manner last year. I didn't agree with the spots that they used him in and the certain, you know, momentum that they had at the time. But I do think there's a way to implement his skill set in certain situations that Tim Kelly could take advantage of. And that would be, of course, his getting out of the pocket and potentially using the legs more than the arm. But they worked that in last year. I don't know if they're totally against it again, but they tried to do it multiple times before he was named the starter after Tannehill went down. So I'm not sold on my theory that happens personally. Like I wouldn't force that like they did a year ago, but there is a skill set there that he offers that the other two don't, especially if Tannehill's trying to give it a go starting wise on a bad ankle, or, you know, he's banged up from the previous week and they're going into a short week, where they have a mobile opportunity at that spot instead of just turning around and giving it to Derrick Henry.
We talk with Jonathan Hutton, Hot Mike with Hutton Withrow. Now, a position or battle that hasn't been talked about, and maybe it's a good thing, maybe not, the cornerback position. For some reason, because the wide receivers have looked so good this early on in camp, and I'm trying to decide, and I told Caroline, and Caroline and Willie and I, we've all said we will make our determinations once they start playing preseason games. Once they get a few games under their belt, then we will make our determination in regards to the quarterbacks. But the receivers have been they've played so well in camp that I'm wondering, are they that good or that cohesive as a group already, or is it the cornerbacks that we need to truly be worried about?
Oh,
because
God.
Roger McQuarrie, we got a Christian Fulton coming back off an injury. I mean, Caleb Farley, we don't know what he's going to be this season, if he plays at all. Sean Murphy Button, who they brought in from Tampa, is a new face on the defense. Then they got a couple of other guys at the cornerback position. I'm not even talking about the safety position. I think the two starters are great. But past that, this may be a problem that people are not talking about, and I'm worried about it.
Well, I mean, I think there's reason to have a cause for concern if one of these guys goes down in the starting group. Look, none of these guys are big interception guys. Mm-hmm. They're not the flashy corners. I would describe this group as they have a lot of Malcolm Butlers, if that makes sense to you. Mm-hmm. You know, the gritty. Christian Fulton, by the way, I think has had a great offseason, and he is physically, he looks different. Mm-hmm. They're trying to keep weight on him. And I think he's using that more than what we've seen in years past. I like guys, Mace, on contract years. Mm-hmm. Love them. He's one of them. You know, he's trying, and he's at a position that can get paid if they want to keep him around. So, again, I would bet on Fulton taking a step up. How much of one, that's to be determined. But he's at the top of this group right now. Murphy Bunting is coming off of their seasons in Tampa. He could be the veteran guy there. And then Roger McCreary is a lot like Fulton in what they're asking him to do. And, you know, he's a step behind Fulton to me, just based on the drafted in 22 instead of 2020. That to me, it all hinges on Fulton. Mm-hmm. Who's their number one guy? Who's covering the number one receiver? Who's helping over the top? And then behind that, Chris Jackson, Trey Avery made this roster a year ago. Caleb Farley, I don't even think about anymore. Mm-hmm. It is a big concern. It's not as bad as the offensive line when I think about what injuries would really be killer. But if you have one of these top three guys go down, that's when I think there's true cause for concern, more so than now. Because I think I'm viewing this group, right or wrong, and you can tell me your thoughts. Mm-hmm. They have a very good pass rush and defensive line ahead of them, mm-hmm. that front seven. And I'm taking that into account on what they should look like, because I think the pass rush should be more consistent than what we're going to see on the back end. And because of that, I think that helps them out, even if they're not at that top tier, like we look around and see with some tandems across the NFL.
Now, Hutt, before we get you out here, what would be a surprise to you? Take away the quarterback position, that battle for the second quarterback spot. If you take that out of the equation, what would be a surprise to you if this happened at the end of time?
I'm looking at the inside linebacker battle right now between Gibbons and Monty Rice. Monty Rice should win this. I mean, he's a third round pick from the 2021 draft. It's time for him to be that guy. Beyond that, look, I'm thinking for, as far as surprises go, Jaden Peavy, it sounds like he's got a great run to make this roster as a backup defensive tackle, where they can work him in some reps and in some special teams aspects on the line. Mm-hmm. And I'm also looking at it from, backup running back role, Mace. Tajay Spears is going to be used a lot. He's the number two back. But because of everything going on with Haskins, Jonathan Ward and Chestnut at that spot. Can they do the grunt work that Hassan Haskins did a year ago? Meaning the special teams roles. Haskins plays a lot of teams. He's on a lot of different roles there, and he's a good one. I mean, he played that well a year ago. Is one of those behind the scenes backs in the preseason able to unseat him based on whatever's going on off the field with Haskins currently? Is it enough to throw in the towel and say, we're going with this guy in week one? I'm not so sure of that. And because of that, I think that would be a surprise for me.
Last one for you, Hutton. Want to get your thoughts on the recent Pac-12 proposed media deal with Apple TV. Is this the end of the Pac-12?
Yesterday was the trade deadline for Major League Baseball, and it should be the trade deadline this week for member schools of the Pac-12. If you look at the value, the brand value of Oregon, Utah, USC and UCLA are already leaving. Colorado is a brand now, and they're back because of primetime. And Arizona is thought to be bolting for the Big 12 next, but Washington is also in this mix. Oregon and Washington seem to be working and waiting on the Big 10. Point being, Caroline, it's time to trade conferences if I'm one of these programs, because even if the top tier subscription rate is on par with the Big 12, they're going to get the maximum dollar based on the amount of subs that they have through Apple TV Plus. At least that's the indication. And the fact that the linear TV aspect, while they could have a Pac-12 after dark or have a Pac-12 Friday night game or something, you're going to need the biggest brands on pay-per-view, on Apple TV Plus, not on free TV. So if the CW wants to carry a game on Friday night, more power to you, but it's going to be Washington State against Oregon State. It's not going to be Oregon or Utah or Washington or anyone else that remains, because you want them to drive the subscriptions up. You don't want to waste that subscription on a free TV game. And that would be every week we'd see one of those three schools on TV instead of anyone else. And that's the downfall of the Pac-12. And the other thing too is, if these teams leave, and I expect them to, who replaces them? More or less, the Pac-12 becomes the Mountain West. And that would be the downfall of if Oregon or Washington go and it's expected, it's a foregone conclusion that they're dead to rights. But I tend to think that there will be some that are loyal to the conference simply because they don't have any other option. But there are four or five schools that would certainly have the option to move around if they want to, and they should follow the lead of Colorado and jump off the ship before it sinks.
Unfortunately, I feel like you're right, that this is going to be a huge shakeup in the Power Five. But Hutton, appreciate you for stopping by. We'll chat with you next week.
Always enjoy this. Thank you so much, guys.
Awesome. Thanks, Hutton. Jonathan Hutton, Hot Mic with Hutton and Withrow. Now, normally Hutton sticks around for two segments. Hutton has a packed day, so we'll chat with him for two segments next week. But I want to get into that coming up next. A little bit of a Titans breather of what's been going on with the Pac-12 and the shockwaves that it could potentially send throughout the rest of college football. And let me tell you, this is a mess. And we'll get into it coming up next. Plus your thoughts as well. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. The Game Summer Ticket Tour is headed to Streetcar Taps and Garden, located at 4916 Charlotte Pike, tomorrow from 11 a.m. to 6 p.m., so we'll be hanging out for our show there tomorrow. You can come eat, drink, hang, and leave with a pair of free Sounds Preds, Big Machine Music City Grand Prix, or concert tickets. Also, get signed up for the grand prize, Titans tickets, Preds tickets, in the Eurostone Club, and a two-night stay at Opryland Hotel with access to Soundwaves. Black Tie Moving delivers the Game Summer Ticket Tour. For more details, visit thegamenashville.com/tour.